Hey everyone, welcome to another episode of The Scrub Life, a podcast for and about the amazing world of surgical technology. My name is Chris Blevins, and tonight I am going to be talking to you specifically about this podcast. I had the privilege of speaking about it at AST's 25th Educators Conference. So big congratulations to AST for everything that they did. The conference was just amazing. There were so many incredible speakers, incredible stories shared, so many vulnerable moments, and very inspiring. I hope to bring many of those stories to you on future episodes. But tonight on season 6, episode 3, we're going to specifically focus on this podcast. So we're going to talk about how it originated, this kind of crazy journey that we've been on, how educational programs throughout the country are able to utilize it, but also how it can showcase the incredible things that you all are doing behind the Mayo stand day in and day out. So come along with me. It's going to be fun. Here's season 6, episode 3, how you can use this podcast. All right, so good grief, what is the origin story of the Scrub Life podcast? It truly had very simple beginnings. I can't even tell the story without absolutely giving you a huge shout out to Dr. Kelly Tribble and Cindy Mask. And then, of course, there is my oldest son, Will. I'm just a girl who dislikes PowerPoint. We've all done it, especially as educators. We have inflicted death by PowerPoint, and as students ourselves, we have died the slow and painful death by PowerPoint as well. But in the surgical technology program, you're not doing your students any favors if you don't give them a group project. Especially towards the end, because you all know it takes a team to care for our patients. It's not a one man or woman job. And if we don't teach them how to work as a team towards a common goal, and then give them parameters, make them critically think, then I think that we're setting them up for failure, or at least definitely not fully preparing them for what life is going to be like in the operating room. So, I was trying to think about it and figure out something creative. And my son actually listens to podcasts quite often. And to be completely honest, full disclosure, I wasn't even really sure what a podcast was. I immediately thought of YouTube. And when he said, "Mom, you should have them do a podcast," I definitely had that deer in the headlight look from him. And so he explained it. Thank God, thank goodness for the young crowd. But I went to who was then my director, the great and amazing Cindy Mask. And I told her what I was thinking. And in usual Cindy manner, she said, "Go for it." And I'm so grateful that she did. And then she also hooked me up with Kelly Tribble. So Dr. Tribble was in our Center for Teaching and Learning, and he is just incredibly good with media and these kinds of platforms, and he jumped right on board. This man opened up the world of podcasting to me, and I am so incredibly grateful, because I don't think either one of us thought that it would be what it is today or have the potential to become more when we first started it. So, gosh, that was back in 2018. And so my seniors during their final semester were assigned a podcast episode. And this is kind of how it went. Hey, I want you to do an episode. It needs to be about 20 to 30 minutes. It needs to be about anything having to do with surgical technology. Get creative and go. So to say that I had a few mouths wide open and very wide-eyed students standing in front of me is probably an understatement, but that was kind of how we got started. And ultimately, the outcome was incredible. They really did enjoy the experience. And I got to learn so much about the students who I already had fallen madly in love with, but to see who they were as individuals, to see what they could have done as a group and how open they were to this new experience. It was really, really cool. So you might be asking how we got the scrub life. Well, of course, you all know that our nickname is being a scrub nurse. We do a surgical hand scrub every day, and I am a huge TLC fan. So as dorky as it may sound, like all I could hear is TLC's No Scrubs lyrics in the back of my head, thinking of the surgical scrub, and hence the name, The Scrub Life. That's how it came up. So over the years since 2018, it really did become just a student group project. And we had a few cohorts of students go through and do it. And it was really great. And then I can't even remember what year it is now, but I had the opportunity to speak at one of our national conferences. And someone came up to me and said, "I hear you're speaking about your experience as a first-year educator, and my friend, I believe, or colleague, can't be here. And I was wondering, would you care if I recorded it so she could hear about it?" And I said, "Well, sure. I have no problem doing that." And then I said, "In fact, let me just record it and I'll send it to you so that the phone's next to the podium." And so I did my speech, said a lot of ums and rights and you knows and all the things that we do nervously, and I'm sure that I continue to do on this podcast. And just like that, I recorded it and then actually made it an episode. And it was so well received, and I felt so grateful to be able to share my experience with those that couldn't make it to the conference. So that continued. And I really enjoyed that experience. I enjoyed hearing how much people got from those speeches. And I was asked if I would be willing to do more. And so, you know, I was really hesitant because truly my voice is not supposed to be what you hear on this podcast. That was never my intention. I don't know about you guys, but I feel like I sound like a 5-year-old boy whenever I'm talking to this microphone. So it was definitely out of my comfort zone to be able to speak independently through these podcasts. I mean, I truly wanted to just make my students suffer and put them out there outside of their comfort zones. So, you know, karma has a way of kind of knocking us back and making us kind of eat those words, which is totally what happened. But as I continued on, it started to really just become apparent, especially as I had gained more experience as an educator. To be honest, no one knows what we do, y'all. No one knows the amazing field of surgical technology. That was very apparent as Oregon passed one of the stupidest bills I have ever heard of by making on-the-job training and an apprenticeship now illegal. And well, it's not fully there yet, so I'm hoping maybe the governor of Oregon and those constituents can maybe see the light of day. But I think that it does a disservice to our career field. That was season 6, episode 2. I'll let you go back and listen to that so I don't climb really high on my soapbox tonight. But my point is that we need a platform. You know, new podcast episodes by students, they're sporadically available, mainly because it was only my program that was using it. You know, we only graduated one cohort a year. So my question was, what if the content was expanded? You know, what if episodes were published more frequently? And what if we could truly educate the public about what it is that we do in an operating room and how incredibly important it is to be well-trained experts in the practice of sterility or asepsis, and also how important being certified and continuing to be well-educated throughout the entirety of our career is to our patients and our surgical team members. So I started to kind of branch out, and let me tell you, there are some amazing people in our career field that are doing great things. They're giving back to their communities. They're going and they are going on mission trips, and they are serving, you know, underprivileged and poverty-stricken areas. I have had the, just the honor of meeting so many people that are truly going above and beyond. And I feel like I have a platform, and somebody gave me a microphone. And as of today, there are 10,400 downloads of this podcast and our, you know, 5 previous seasons of episodes. So why not use that to do good? I think that it's now become a responsibility. So I started to talk more, which is still to this day something that I'm not very used to, still totally out of my comfort zone. But let me tell you, not just my students and their episodes, they have done amazing things, but I was able to kind of reflect as an educator during COVID. I was able to have an episode specifically about COVID and the vaccinations. I've been so grateful to have interviewed Ron Krizel from ARC-STSA, Grant Wilson, who's the former president of the NBSTSA. We spoke a lot about the curriculum changes, those core curriculum updates that have come out, and the enhancements that we are trying to do in the field of surgical technology education. I was able to talk with good old Casey, our Kevin Craycraft, our president of AST, and his vision for the Association of Surgical Technologists and how he can better serve you all. We talked about accreditation with Chris Ahern out of New York. We've talked about surgical mission trips with Cindy Short, who is just an incredible human being all the way around. And then not only that, but we have been able to talk about those supporting industries that are helping us in the field of surgery. So Surgical Sciences is a company that is growing. They do surgical simulations to assist us in teaching our students, not just in the OR, but they've now branched out to ultrasound and some of our interventional cardiothoracic procedures as well. So their company is just growing. And I had such an amazing conversation with one of their salespeople. Her name is Mel Angelisanti. Shout out to Mel and Becky and all of the incredible work that they are doing to support us. Because let's face it, guys, we need simulation, and we need real life simulation. You know, we drive the camera in laparoscopic procedures. We are the eyes of the surgeon. And I'm sure all of you preceptors out there, you know, it's kind of that gasping, like hold your breath moment when a student is driving the camera for the surgeon for the first time. You know what that feels like when they start to wander because they're curious as to what is that big maroon organ over there on the left side? Or what is that squirmy bowel doing? And meanwhile, your surgeon has sharp objects and they're trying to handle something else in a completely different region. We've all been there. So the ability for us to thoroughly teach our students prior to them operating on a live patient is incredibly important. I had the latest, we started season 6 with a company that has been founded by Dr. Tamir Wolf. It's called Theater, and they are using both artificial intelligence and cameras during operations to help us learn from surgical procedures, not just of those surgeons that we have the privilege of working with, but of surgeons across the world, and to be able to have some consistency, not just in the training, but also kind of our instant replay, to see how we can be better, how we can perfect our craft and do that every surgery, every patient, every time. So it has been a wild journey. I cannot wait to continue these episodes and speak to those individuals that have inspired me and I know will inspire you to do great things. So at the Educators Conference, I specifically talked about how this podcast can help our surgical technology programs promote both their program in their local area, and also to be what we call a capstone project, or something that their seniors can do at the end of their educational journey as a group. It's a team building project, and that can serve not just to be a creative outlet to teach them teamwork, but can do so much more. So we're going to take a short break, and when I come back, we'll talk about specifically how educators across the nation can use this platform. And then we're going to talk about how you all that aren't in education, but are working day in and day out to care for and advocate for our patients, and how you all should be illustrated in this podcast too. So we'll be right back in just a few minutes. All right, everybody, we're back. I missed you. So let's talk a lot about this podcast and how it can be utilized by educational programs across the country. And, you know, I already talked about Oregon and that hot mess, but what I really want to talk to you guys about is the fact that we surgical technologists have got to have a seat at the table. You know, it's an associate degree program now. And just like ADN nursing is. And not only that, but surgical technology, along with every other pathway in allied health, is booming. We are seeing a shortage of surgical technologists, especially certified surgical technologists, across the country. Hospitals are begging for staff. I will segue on this note. If you would pay them better, they would come. And now I'm going to get off that soapbox. But we need to educate people that surgical technology is a career field that they could gravitate towards. And, you know, I've said it before, but our clientele are drugged. We stay in the operating room, as you all know, but our patients have been given this lovely, amazing amnesiotic called Versed. So they don't remember meeting us in the first place. And then when they are still quite unconscious, they are wheeled out of our operating room, out to our PACU, our recovery units. And we stay because time is money, everybody, right? We've got to get that room turned over and we have to get ready for the next case. You guys know that's a day in and day out life as a surge tech. So we really need to promote our profession. One of the ways that we can do that is through this platform that is podcasting. So many of you listen to podcasts already. Stephanie Austin, I'm totally calling you out and your four podcasts. I'm not a Tennessee Vols, but by God, I try to contribute to her podcast listing or listening on the daily. So let's use this. I've already had an established audience. We are listened to in over four different countries. The podcast is available on 12 different platforms, anywhere from Apple to Google Play to Spotify and so forth and so on. So, let's not reinvent the wheel, everybody. I will share everything that I do, both as an educator, as a surgical tech, and now as a reluctant podcaster. So the first thing I want to tell you to go to is our webpage. So if you go to thescrublifepodcast.wordpress.com and you click on this episode, which is season 6, episode 3, you will find all of the information that you need in order to utilize this podcast in your program for your Surge Tech students. So as I continued to use the podcast assignment, I had the invitation to attend a signature assignment workshop. So basically, it is a peer review of an assignment that is specific to what you teach. And so I thought this is a great opportunity for these incredible educators to be able to look at my assignment and give me feedback and help me improve it, because I wanted to make sure that my instructions were clear and concise and that it at the same time didn't hinder the creativity of my students. And so this podcast assignment has been peer reviewed. And you can find links to the actual assignment instructions, as well as grading rubric, important links to my bio and all of our social media pages for the Scrub Life podcast. And then also I included an example of a student proposal paper and an example of a student summary paper. So what in the heck are those? Well, let's get down to the nitty gritty of the actual podcast assignment. So what I instruct my students to do is they have to come up with a podcast episode in regards to something in the field of surgery. So I don't make it specifically about surgical technology because I think that even learning about surgery in general will help to promote our profession. So I have them to develop and record a podcast episode. It's usually in groups of three. And those students are randomly assigned to each other. We try to make sure that, we kind of break up the cliques. You get used to those people that you go through school with. And the whole point of a group assignment is to learn how to work effectively with people that you don't know. Just like we do in the operating room. Sorry, hiccups, of course, because I'm recording a podcast every day. So the structural requirements of an episode is that it should be about 20 to 30 minute audio recording. My students actually just record it on a smartphone, and then they email that recording to me. All the team members are required to participate equally, but that doesn't mean that everyone has to actually speak during the podcast episode. So someone could be in charge of the research. Someone could be in charge of, developing interview questions, if that is what their episode is about. And then someone could be the voice of the podcast episode, or they could all play a role. I wanted to give them a lot of leeway for that. Any research or referenced information had to be cited both verbally during the episode, and then I required an APA formatted reference page to be emailed to me along with the audio recording. And then episodes must have been original work by the students within the group. So at this point in the life of the podcast, if you will, I wanted to make sure that they didn't go back to season 1 or 2 and just copy what my former students had done. I want their creative juices flowing. And it has been incredible to see how that happens. I've had students who shared their uncle's kidney transplant story. I've had students who sang a jingle, y'all. Oh my gosh, I had no idea that they could even sing. And that was such a pleasant surprise that still to this day makes me smile. I also had them, they've interviewed colleagues and preceptors at hospitals that they've been able to participate in clinical Just, I could go on and on about the ways that my students have been very creative. So the content requirements are very specific as well. You know, obviously it has to be related to surgery. It has to be creative. I try to tell them, hey, guess what? You need to speak clearly, be concise, try to be well organized, try to entertain. Of course, I myself set the bar super low, so we can only go from here. But then, so as they kind of develop their podcast episode, as they get these ideas, the first part of this assignment is to submit a proposal. So each person has to submit this proposal to me as a part of the group. And that is so that I know for sure that each person clearly understands what that team is trying to accomplish and what their role in it is. Because we've all been a part of those group assignments where one person takes the lead and the other person rides the coattails. So I really wanted to make sure that I had a clear understanding of everyone's role and that everyone played an equal role in the team project. That assignment, the proposal is usually about a page long. I didn't really care how long it was. I just wanted the information in there. And then I kind of wanted an outline, kind of a chronological outline of the episode flow. I told them to kind of think of it as a script. And then I submit it to me. I would then approve it because this podcast is listened all over the country. And gosh, I open my mouth and say things all the time. I'm going to own that, but let's not put my students in that kind of a position on their own. So once they did that, I gave them then a deadline for the actual podcast episode. And then after the podcast episode, usually about a week after they've done it, I kind of wanted them to mull it around. I make them complete a one-page summary of their experience. So once again, group project, but each individual person had to submit that. I want to know, what did they learn? Like, how was it performing in this kind of group dynamic? In my post conferences every day in clinical, I use a thing called, did best, do better. So what did I do best today? And what am I going to do better tomorrow? So I kind of wanted them to reflect on their part in this process and, what they did well, and maybe next time, if they had this opportunity again, what they could improve on. So all of those things, there are some other requirements that are listed in the instructions in the rubric. You know, I wanted them to speak correctly, use correct medical terminology. It's not our belly button, it's our umbilicus. So like, let's use that word appropriately. Let's not cuss anybody out, please, or violate any HIPAA requirements as well. So anyway, lots of guidelines for them and rules that they needed to follow. At the same time, I feel like there's a lot of room for creativity as well. So all of that, those things, they're broken down into a grading template and a grading rubric, and then the entire assignment's worth 100 points. So it's been wonderful to use. My goal, though, is not just for my program to use it, but I would love for any surgical technology program in the country to have this as an assignment that's at their beck and call. It's so easy for you to record an episode. You just email it to me along with the information that you want me to have about your program, about your area, your students, what the episode was about, all of that. And then I can record an introduction, I can record a conclusion, and then I can publish it or broadcast it on our website or on our podcast platform. I think it's an amazing way for you to have free marketing for your program. Some areas of the country, we have wait lists for students trying to get into surgical technology programs. And some of areas of the country, maybe it's the exact opposite. So why not use this listening audience to try to promote not just our profession, but what you all are doing in your local community. You can share the episodes with anyone and everyone that will listen. And my goal is that it's an easy assignment. Guess what? It's already done, right? Everything is out there for you to use. You just have to put it in play. And then also just it amazingly will showcase the brilliant things that we all are doing as surgical technologists. So that is kind of a summation of the actual assignment for the podcast. But I would be completely remiss if I didn't point out that, yes, we totally need to support those future CSTs that we are training, that will soon be your colleagues in the hospitals. But guys, those of you who are not in education, those of you who are behind the Mayo day in and day out, I want to tell your story too. You guys are incredible preceptors. You're veterans of our field. You have been there, done that, bought the t-shirt, drank out of the mug, and had, you know, the stupid slice of pizza as your thanks during National Surgical Technology Week. Can I hear an amen? So we need to showcase what you all are doing as well. I know you have stories. I know that you guys are participating in, you know, groundbreaking procedures. I know that you have a wealth of information that needs to be heard by our audience. And I would most definitely like to tell your story as well. You know, we need to honor our experienced techs. I feel like part of our problem in our career field is that we are burnt out. I think there are so many times where we're maybe not as definitely popular as the nurses, but we're also, I think, we're not appreciated. Like I said, our clientele are drugged, right? The families don't necessarily know that we even exist. And Lord knows shows like The Resident and Grey's Anatomy, and, you know, all of those medical shows on TV definitely don't do you all justice. So please let me have the honor of telling your story as well. So on the webpage, remember that's the scrublifepodcast.wordpress.com. I also have a link to our virtual suggestion box. If you or someone you know would like to be on this podcast, please reach out to me. I would absolutely love to have a conversation and to be able to talk with you and learn what it is that you're doing for our career field. I'm really easy to reach. You can always reach us at thescrublifepodcast@outlook.com. We're, of course, on Facebook and Instagram at The Scrub Life Podcast. And then, of course, through our link to the virtual suggestion box as well. So that is my spiel, if you will. It's about the podcast. And the reason I decided to do it tonight is because guess what? Season 6, Episode 4, and Episode 5 are truly featuring my students and their senior capstone project. So our next two episodes are going to be done by our seniors. I am so proud of them. They have done an excellent job. They were so nervous. And I am definitely a proud mama tonight. So please support them, support our program by listening to those two future episodes, and let me support you. Let me support you by showcasing what it is that you do and by also showcasing your program, because we all should walk the walk and talk the talk and take care of our patients regardless of where they are. The community of surgical technology educators is the most welcoming, the most giving, the most sharing. I guess, good grief, I'm blanking. But just, that's such an incredible group. I'm so very honored to be a part of all of you and hope to do you justice by hosting this podcast. So with that, guys, have an amazing night. I hope to see you soon at upcoming conferences. I'm always available and willing to share. And I really sincerely hope you take advantage of this platform and this microphone and use the podcast to benefit your program and your career field, because you guys are worth it. You deserve it. And the public needs to know your importance in the field of surgery. So that being said, have a great night. Again, I'm Chris Blevins. This is the Scrub Life Podcast, and I will see you next time for a future episode. Have a great night, guys.